Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas. I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Monday, December 28th, 2015. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. And here to join me, as always, my partner and co-host, Jeff Rivers.
Hey, Jeff? How you doing, Chad?
Doing okay, I guess, after a bizarre and tragic weekend, actually, as everyone knows. Here in the Dallas area, we had... It was, I've never heard of a tornado the day after Christmas, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's what precedent there is for that, but I don't recall that ever happening in my lifetime anyway. You know what I'm saying? And
usually by the time of the year, you know, the main tornadic stuff is over. This is not very often. I think it's because we are in an El Nino year, isn't that right?
Absolutely, and it's been the wettest year on record, I believe, and just increasing. And I believe I saw today that it was the second highest number of deaths since, I think, the first number one was 1927 in North Texas, and then this year now is number two, based on this tornado and the tornadoes over the course of the entire year. Saturday night we were at Windstar Casino, and our long listeners know that we go there a lot. And we were watching Chicago, the group Chicago, is of course outstanding. And before we left, we knew there was rain, and it was pouring when we drove up there. It's about an hour, and without traffic, it's about an hour and 20 minutes, with maybe an hour and a half. What do you say, Jeff? I guess.
About an hour.
And and we were under tornado watch, which, you know, that happens a lot. So we knew that there was bad weather and rain and stuff, but we had no idea that it was going to be. You know what I'm saying? Right as this concert started at 8 o'clock, and there's periods, and I don't care who you have, what your server is, where you have dead zones. And in this casino, this is the world's largest casino, is what they claim it to be, so I take them at that. It's humongous. And there are places in there where you just can't get reception. And at some point, I noticed I had two missed calls. It was right before we went in, right before 8 o'clock, to the concert. And so I just kind of walked over because I couldn't, get reception. So when I walked over into another part where it wasn't a dead zone, my phone just started pop, 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 from Facebook messages and text messages and stuff. It was blowing up. And check in, I had people telling me and all this. And that's when I told you, I said, there's a problem, And that's when we found out there was a tornado on the ground in Rowlett, Texas, where we live, which is a suburb in northeast Dallas. But we didn't know. Again, sometimes we hear, Jeff, there's times when they say there's a tornado warning. And a tornado may just like briefly come down, but doesn't damage anything. Or, it wasn't until we went ahead, went into the concert, and we were sitting there. And my phone's still going off, and everything. And we listened to a few songs. And then we got... I checked Facebook and I saw a picture of the Rowlett Water Tower. And there's several water towers here in Rowlett. Rowlett's about 60,000 people. And there's several water towers and they look identical. But there's one very close to our house. Well, this particular picture had a tornado with lightning right beside it. And you could see the size of it. And that's when I showed that to Jeff. And I said, we need to go. He agreed. So we... And fortunately, we've seen Chicago before, and it was disappointing, yes, but it was, getting home and making sure our house was okay and our pets were safe and everything like that was even more so. And luckily, we
neighbors.
It was east, the eastern part of Raleigh. We live in West Raleigh, that was struck, and when we turned the corner to come to our house, we had to, you know, first the police had Raleigh blocked off. We had to, and I told him, you know, where we lived and everything, and he let us through. But a very wild night. And just some stories, Jeff, coming out of that. Survivors of the tornado outbreak that killed 11 people now, total in North Texas, including an infant only days old, began the long, grim process of recovery on Sunday. As cold rain fell steadily, cleanup and rescue crews surveyed the wreckage of more than 1,000 buildings, many of them homes, from Ellis to Collin counties. It is total devastation, said Lieutenant Pedro Barreno, a Garland police spokesman. In his suburb, an EF4 tornado with wind speeds up to 180 miles per hour left 8 dead, damaging or destroying about 600 buildings. Two more people died in rural Copeville in Collin County from an F2 tornado with winds up to 125 miles an hour. And in nearby Blue Ridge, an infant was killed. It was terrible. And there's just been so many stories coming back. One person said, looking back as a survivor of the deadliest touchdown of the night, he realized that the quiet, his name was Gary Tucker, they were leaving the Bass Pro Shops in Garland, and he said the quiet was a warning. He said, quote, it was dead calm. We could even hear the real far distance what sounded like a train. They always say it sounds like a train. But it was real far, he said. The radio warned the couple to take cover as they drove away from the lake toward Tucker's home in Wiley, but they figured the danger zone was too broad to worry about. Tucker was about to turn off the Interstate 30 service road on the George Bush Turnpike when the tornado proved him wrong. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. He saw a succession of booms. Just continuing with that story, he saw a succession of booms. He saw a riding lawnmower fly by. Lumber and debris shot past at what seemed like 100 miles per hour. Tucker pulled the pickup over, and the couple got down as low as their seatbelts would let them, and they were flying too. He said the truck just literally lifted straight up off the ground. He said it came straight off the ground, and we both blacked out. When they came to, the truck seemed to have flown about 20 feet, and Tucker heard a voice outside saying, "Are you guys okay? Are you guys okay?" They crawled out of the rear window. His girlfriend would need stitches, and she was lucky, but the same intersection bodies lay in vehicles that night. And what I was going to say is about early Sunday morning, Jeff and I went to survey the damage as best we could. And fortunately, we were allowed to go down Dow Rock, which goes through Rowlett, and there were many roads were blocked off. But the roads we were allowed to go down what we could see there was terrible. So we could just imagine how bad, and we wouldn't see how bad it was until the next day. But what we did see about 1 o'clock on early Sunday morning, 1 a.m., late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, we got to exit off of Dow Rock onto Interstate 30. And Interstate 30 is it's an interstate. It goes from Dallas to, like, Memphis. You know what I mean? It's always busy.
Right.
At 1 o'clock on a Saturday night, it was like a ghost town. We pulled over to the side of the interstate. I mean, we're basically in the road. There was no one on the interstate. And we looked over to where these cars had flown up to 100 yards. They were thrown off of the off of the interstate going on to George Bush Turnpike. The tornado cut right through there, and it threw them 100 yards, and there are still dead people in vehicles and emergency vehicles trying to get people out, and what we saw was very disturbing. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's terrible. I just feel so bad for the people.
I mean, I've never seen cars that looked, you know what I mean? I know you the same thing, and for us to be able to pull over on an interstate that's typically, I mean, you know what it's like there, Jeff, going over the lake. It's a busy interstate.
Yeah,
and
very busy.
We just got to pull over because no one was – but that was very eerie. And you could just tell, I mean, looking all around, and it was just disturbing. I was stayed up most of the night, and then because I wanted to see what everything looked like, because everything happened after dark. So, and what we were able to see was we knew that it was bad. But yeah, and I just want to go back to that tornado watch. Just like the guy said, Mr. Tucker, we hear those all the time, Jeff. And 95%, 99%, I don't know, of the time they turn out to be nothing. You know, we're under a tornado watch a lot, and it doesn't usually produce a tornado. This time we were under a tornado watch, and it did produce one. So, do you think there's something they could do to improve that? Because we've become, you know, we just don't. When we hear that now, it doesn't really do anything. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. Oh my goodness, you know.
I think our technology is pretty phenomenal. I think our technology is pretty phenomenal. You know, it's just hard.
I agree. Sure.
To you know, I'm sure that there's a way that you know they can improve it over time with more, you know, improvements in technology. But I don't know. To some point, there's going to be limitations, I'm sure. And I think they do a pretty good job for the most part. But
well, if you're sitting at your home watching television, they can pinpoint exactly where it is. But for the people that are out in their cars listening to the radio or trying to get information on your phone or what have you, that's where the difficulty lies. Because you know what I'm saying, and that's the most dangerous place you can be is in your vehicle. That's where, most of the people that were killed were in their vehicles, as is the case with most tornadoes. But I just, you know, we were listening to, and you know, sometimes people are like, "Why is there still AM radio?" Well, we listen to AM radio on the way to Windstar because there just aren't channels on FM radio to give you. And I have my phone, so I can download all that. I can see news, stuff like that. But as far as like instant, instead of having to reload and all this stuff, you know, you like to hear radio. I do anyway. And I know you're the same way, Jeff. And so the best place to get that, you know, was an AM station. And yeah, the guy was telling about, you know, that we knew there was a tornado on the ground in DeSoto, which is south of Dallas. But then in no time, he's like, the tornado watches have been canceled. Do you remember that, when they said that? And they reactivated them later. So it was just up and down, and it just goes to show, when there is a tornado watch, you do have to take notice, even though most of the time nothing happens, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes me want to think twice the next time we're under a tornado watch to go to a pre-planned function like that. That's just like, oh, my gosh, I'm a little gun-shy about it.
Right, and you're sitting there, and you know that there's a tornado on the ground. You get a picture like that, and you're thinking of your pets, and you're listening to, if you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me. Yeah,
oh
you'll get up and leave.
Right, all of a sudden, I'm not listening to the concert. I'm watching my phone. And
I couldn't enjoy it at all. And the one thing we said right after the concert, we're leaving, because, of course, normally we gamble. But then once we saw that picture, we knew what was going on. It was we were out of there. And we made very good time getting home, I will say that, too. Jeff was driving, and we were honked at a few times. We got here, though. And luckily for us, everything was okay. But unfortunately for our neighbors in East Rowlett and Garland and other parts of the Metroplex, and even outside, not so fortunate. And just a very sad weekend, you know, and still lots of cleanup going on. It will be for days to come.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got more news to get to, but first, on this day in 1987, in Russellville, Arkansas, Ronald Gene Simmons was arrested after fatally shooting two people. Later, police discovered the dead bodies of 14 relatives at his home in Dover, Arkansas, including his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. Wow. At the movies, Three Men and a Baby, an American comedy starring Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, and Ted Danson, reclaimed the top spot at the box office in its fifth weekend of release, and the number one song in the land was this. Would be nice. Number one on this day in 1987, George Michael and the biggest hit of his career, Faith. That was actually his second solo hit, his 10th top 40, with the first seven being with Wham. And then he had the duet, of course, with Aretha Franklin. I knew you were waiting for me. But, yeah, number one for 4 weeks and went gold. And this is when George Michael shed his pretty boy image and all of a sudden was the leather, you know, with the 5 o'clock shadow and the sunglasses, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
The two little earrings from the Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go days were gone. So, you know, and the fluffy hair. So anyway, but yeah, George Michael is great. That's a great song, and
absolutely.
And very long career. Been in some trouble since his heyday, but I haven't heard anything lately. So let's hope that's
good.
You know,
right. Gotta have
okay, continuing with the weather, Jeff, a tumultuous weather system driving deadly tornadoes and flash flooding that have killed now at least 43 people continued its violent march across the Midwest and South today, snarling traffic, grounding hundreds of flights, and wreaking havoc for holiday travelers. Hundreds of thousands of people lost power today, including more than 120,000 in Oklahoma alone. The National Weather Service forecasts heavy snow and dangerous ice storms for the upper Midwest late Monday and into early Tuesday. Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan were all bracing for the worst of the ice and snow. Also on Tuesday, sections of the Northeast and New England will be white for the first time this season. Up to 8 inches of snow were forecast for Portland, Maine. Some good news for Tuesday, there are no severe thunderstorms forecast for anywhere in the nation on Tuesday, according to the Storm Prediction Center. So that is like that.
Absolutely.
The news was not good for flyers over the past couple of days. Almost 1,165 flights had been canceled nationwide, and another 1,900 plus were delayed as of 1 p.m. Eastern time today. Chicago and Dallas were especially hard hit. On Sunday, more than 1,600 flights were canceled and 6,300 delayed. That's a lot of flights, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And and there's nothing worse than sitting, you know, sometimes we hear those horror stories about people sitting on the tarmac for hours. And, you know, I'm always just like,
yes,
no
I can
way.
Imagine that being us.
Oh, and then some of those people go bananas and flip out, and I'm like, I get it. I'm tall, I'm 6'4", and it's hard enough anyway, you know, and yeah, I just want to get there and get off of the plane,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I'll sit on the
in Baghdad, this is great news, Jeff. Iraqi government forces retook central parts of the key city of Ramadi today from Islamic State militants, the military said. The announcement by Iraq's military spokesman, Brigadier General Yahu Rasul, was broadcast live on state TV. He said Ramadi had been, quote, grabbed from the hateful claws of ISIS. The operation's success was confirmed by the Pentagon. Quote, the expulsion of ISIS by Iraqi security forces supported by our international coalition is a significant step forward in the campaign to defeat this barbaric group and restore Iraq's territorial sovereignty, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter said in a statement. So bravo to Iraq for moving these assholes out of the way. You know what I'm saying? And taking back
Definitely.
This city. Good for
them.
That's
great news. Hope they keep moving on. Push
them absolutely, back. Absolutely. Some tough news today. A Cleveland grand jury declined to bring charges in the death of Tamir Rice, a black youth with a toy gun who was shot by a white police officer 13 months ago. Quote, the outcome will not cheer anyone, nor should it, Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Timothy McGinty said. He blamed the shooting on a, quote, perfect storm of human error and miscommunication. The grand jury was asked to examine the actions of rookie officer Timothy Lohman and his training officer Frank Garmback, who responded to a report about a man with a gun near a recreation center. A dispatcher did not tell them that the caller thought it was probably a child with a fake gun. Tamir, 12 years old, was likely meant to show the officers his gun was a toy that shot plastic pellets, but there was no way the officers could have known that when they confronted him on a snowy day in November 2014, according to McGinty. He said the dispatcher's failure to provide the information about the fake gun was key to the case. McGinty said he also said that he agreed with the grand jury decision. Okay, well, here's my problem with this, Jeff. Then the dispatcher should be brought up on charges. when you're a dispatcher, you also have an obligation to relay information. And the fact that this dispatcher did not say that the person that called in thought that this was a child with a fake gun, that information was not given to these police officers, that puts square blame on the dispatcher, then, the way I see it.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about? I mean, dispatchers are part of the force. I mean, that's, you know, their job is to relay information. This dispatcher did not do that and left out key parts that led to the death of this child. So,
if you know detailed information and if you don't give important detailed information to law enforcement, then that puts a whole new spin on things, you know, inadvertently, and it's not good.
And I don't like to second guess the police. We've seen some horrible things over the last couple of years, though, Jeff. I don't know how they thought this was a man. You've seen several pictures of him, and Tamir looks like a young boy to me. 12 years old. I'm not going to fault the grand jury. I don't like to second guess juries. They get all the information that we don't get. And however, I say haul them back in and. For this dispatcher, then somebody needs to be accountable for the fact that there's a 12-year-old boy who is no longer with us. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right.
So anyway, once again, Jeff, President Obama tops the annual Gallup poll for the most admired man. Although this year, an intriguing pair is tied for second. Donald Trump and Pope Francis both finished with 5% of respondents who named them their most admired man, well behind President Obama's 17%. Quote, Trump's surprisingly strong and often controversial presidential campaign has made him a prominent news figure this year and thus top of the mind for many Americans, Gallup reported. This helps explain his strong showing when Gallup asked Americans in an open-ended fashion to name the man they admire the most. The successful businessman has finished in the top 10 four other times, including from 1988 through 1990 and in 2011. Another 2016 presidential candidate, Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton, a former First Lady and Secretary of State, topped the list of most admired women for the 14th straight year and 20th time overall.
Wow.
And and what's surprising is that right now, of course, Hillary Clinton is big-time frontrunner in the Democratic primary, and Donald Trump is the frontrunner pretty significantly as well in the Republican primary. And he has really gone on the attack lately of Hillary, and now he's attacking Bill Clinton as well. And, you know, Jeff, I just don't think it's very smart. I think, first off, there's no one more popular among Democrats than former President Bill Clinton. And do you really want to bring up, you know, the Monica Lewinsky thing? And because he's about to start campaigning for Hillary. And so Donald Trump is tweeting out things about, you know. But once again, there is a tape of Donald Trump from 2008 with Wolf Blitzer telling him how horrible George W. Bush was for lying about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and defending President Clinton for what they did to him over the Monica Lewinsky thing. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, you've got to be able
again,
to
these people that
people,
don't like Hillary, go ahead.
You've got to be able to unite people and pull people together and bring the two main parties together to be able to make you know good progress in this country. And when you're attacking leaders of a particular party, that's just, to me, it crosses the line. And when he was commenting about Hillary Clinton going to the bathroom as being gross the other day,
he called it disgusting, and in her defense, first off, that should be, you know what, we all have mothers, grandmothers, you know, sisters, daughters, aunts, you name it, and we know that women take longer to go to the bathroom. And in Hillary's defense, during that ABC, he was talking about the Democratic presidential debate, and she had to walk twice as far to the women's bathroom as the men did. So that's why, and ABC did a horrible job covering as well, I thought. Because if you remember, Jeff, during that break, I went to the bathroom. I mean, and I went so fast. You know, I'm a man. I can go quick. You know, men can go, we can go fast. By the time I got, I was like, wow, they're back already? You know, I'm thinking, well, Hillary Clinton was not yet. And so once she got done, she walked back out and she just kind of said sorry. And that's the second time that a debate has done that to her. If you remember, and I love Anderson Cooper, but during the CNN debate, she did get back in time, but he basically brought it up for everybody to know. And she goes, I'm a woman.
Right.
It takes me a little longer, she said.
Exactly.
And I thought, boy, if there's you talk about uniting people. Well, that's one way to unite women who are the – there are more women voters than there are men.
That's also right.
A great way to unite Democrats is to attack Bill and Hillary Clinton. So, you know, these people that want to defeat Hillary so badly, they keep on giving her gifts, the way I see it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're a Democrat, you want Donald Trump talking bad about you. Trust me. You know, I guarantee you Bernie Sanders wished that Donald Trump were attacking him right now. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to unite Democrats more. But anyway, I just found that – I thought it's fascinating that for the 14th straight year, she is the most admired woman and the 20th time overall. That's incredible.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Some sad news today in the world of basketball. George Meadowlark Lemon, known as the Clown Prince of basketball for his captivating and amusing style during his 24-season run with the Harlem Globetrotters, died in Scottsdale, Arizona yesterday at the age of 83. Lemon, whose cause of death was not disclosed, developed an unworldly hook shot, often using it near half court during his Globetrotters career that spanned 7,500 games in more than 100 countries. His first full season with the team was in 1954. For a generation of fans, the name Meadowlark Lemon was synonymous with the Harlem Globetrotters, said Globetrotters CEO Kurt Schneider in a statement. He was an incredible entertainer and brought happiness and lifelong memories to millions around the world. We have lost a great ambassador of the game. And Jeff, while the Globetrotters performed all over the world, they were most known for their regular appearances on TV during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and Lemon often served as the team's unofficial spokesperson. The Globetrotters were often part of the TV network's main sports weekend programming, appearing on Wide World of Sports, Sports Spectacular, The Ed Sullivan Show, and David Letterman's talk shows. But Lemon and the rest of the Globetrotters of that era could best be known for their iconic appearances in the cartoon of Scooby-Doo. I don't know if you remember that or not. That actually speaks to me because I do remember that very well.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was also he starred in commercials for Burger King and Charmin and had a role in the 1979 movie The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, which also featured Dr. J, Julius Erving. His quote was, "Man, I've had a good run. I've had a great run. It's been wonderful," Lemon said at his Hall of Fame induction speech in 2003. He was a native of Wilmington, North Carolina. He received the John W. Bunn Award, an honor that recognizes outstanding lifelong contributions to basketball, in 2000. He was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2003. And the Globetrotters did announce that they are dedicating this season, the team's 90th overall, to Lemon and fellow legend Marcus Haynes, who died in May. So, Meadowlark Lemon, dead at the age of 83. Just a great, great guy. And finally, what would we do without Florida? Always something crazy coming up. And I have many friends in Florida, no shade to my Floridian friends, but y'all got some wacky people that live there. A Florida woman faces theft and drug paraphernalia charges after driving a motorized shopping cart through Walmart while eating and drinking items from the store. Joseline Lopez, 25, allegedly shot up meth and then exhibited odd behavior at a Walmart in Lecanto. She had a half-empty bottle of wine in her cart and ate sushi, mini muffins, cinnamon rolls, rotisserie chicken. That's according to the Citrus County Sheriff's Office.
Wow.
The Sheriff's Office responded to a call from Walmart on December 22nd that Lopez was being held after consuming $32.36 worth of food and wine inside the store.
The deputies
found three empty syringes in her possession after arresting Lopez. She told detectives that she had used the syringes earlier to inject crystal meth. Lopez, who said she was homeless, told a deputy that, quote, she was hungry and she did not want to take any of the items outside of the store because that would go against everything she believed. She did consume everything she could while inside the store, and she further said that she knew that she was what she was doing was wrong, but she did it anyway. So
I guess maybe as long as the food's inside her body and she stays within the confines of the store.
She wasted none of it, Jeff. Okay, that's it, exactly. And she did not leave the store with it, so she should be given credit. That's what she's saying. $32.36. That's what cracked me up. I was like, oh, okay, we got to.
Yeah.
And tonight, Jocelyne sits in a Citrus County jail. So that's the way things work sometimes. Oh, wow. All right, the wide world of sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
Stay young at heart.
Ah, 'cause you'll never, never.
Legendary R&B group Earth, Wind, and Fire and their fourth top 40 hit, That's the Way of the World. Also number one on the R&B charts. And that's about as good as it gets.
Absolutely.
Earth, Wind, and Fire
can sing
the ABCs to me, and I would buy it. So, you know, it's...
What's amazing is Philip Bailey. What is he? He's got to be, in his 60s now, and he still can hit those high notes. It's just amazing.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We saw, speaking of Chicago, that we actually saw Earth, Wind, and Fire and Chicago. It was a double bill, if you remember, Jeff, about 10 years ago, probably. It was a hot summer night.
Wonderful.
Over at Fair Park in Dallas, and it was wonderful. And Philip Bailey has pretty much assumed lead vocals. The founder, Maurice White, has not performed with the group for a long time because of illness now. And Philip Bailey is amazing at the fact that he can still hit the notes that he does. And the energy of that group. Verdeen White, the guitarist.
The skinny guitarist.
Are you kidding me? Most people, you know, 20, do not have the energy that he does.
Exactly.
And just great. And all their music is so great. It's wonderful. It really is. It takes you.
Absolutely.
They just don't make music like that anymore. To get, you know, I hate to sound like an old person, but I'm sorry. Who are you going to put up today against Earth, Wind, and Fire? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Wow. I did want to point out that in the first segment, if you heard a noise, that was my cell phone. So, usually I put it on mute before the show starts, and I didn't tonight. And I was trying to
comment on it. I was going to say, that sounds like a wrong answer.
Right, exactly. And while I was in the middle of one of the news stories, I'm trying to multitask at one time, which most of the time is disastrous when you're on live radio. That's not what you want to do. So I just like threw it. I'm just like, you know. And also, I think I said the word y'all in that last segment as well. So if I did, I said, and about the people in Florida, my friends in Florida, I said, y'all, I think I said, y'all have some crazy people that live there. And I don't usually say that, but when
Texas
you're from Texas
pride.
And you that's all you've ever heard and you're constantly around people that say that, sometimes that's going to come out. And you know, Jeff, I always over prepare when I'm editing the show and there's things I have to toss because of time constraints. And one of those was about Poppy Harlow from CNN. Today she actually passed out on the air. So I'm gonna go back.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna dial back now and tell that just briefly talk about that happening on live TV on CNN. Yeah, she passed out. She's pregnant and she got overheated and fainted. And
wow.
The camera was not on her at the time. She was doing a report about terrorism. And but yeah, her speech got slurred and all of a sudden just stopped. And they quickly cut to something else, and she tweeted that, you know, because people were, you know, worried about her, and she was back on the air pretty quickly. But when you're on live TV or live radio, you just never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. You know you're human.
Oh, yes. And that's why sometimes when I'm watching, because we could make a whole show of bloopers that we've had over the last several years on the Chat Report.
Yeah.
We've had cat fights. We've had, and literally, cat, I'm not talking about, you know.
Right, with our cat.
Right, we've had light bulbs explode, you know, and you just name it. It's just, it's happened. But, wow. All right, in sports. In Inglewood, Colorado, Peyton Manning said a report by Al Jazeera that suggests he obtained performance-enhancing drugs was, quote, completely fabricated, complete trash, and garbage. Wow. All right. Speaking to ESPN on Sunday, Manning angrily denied allegations that he used HGH in 2011. The report is based on secret recordings made by a former intern at an Indianapolis anti-aging institute who now says he fabricated the allegations. It also implicates other athletes, including baseball stars Ryan Howard of the Philadelphia Phillies and Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals. A spokesman for both denied the report. You know, I agree with Peyton Manning for being furious about that. Peyton Manning is about as scandal-free as it gets, and to try to tarnish him by, as the guy admitted, making up the story, that's terrible reporting. And
exactly.
You know, and unless you use, and we know this from speaking of being on live radio a lot of times, you know, a lot of the things I say, and I say this, and it's in writing, if you look on the website, and Blog Talk Radio covers themselves too. It's opinion, so we can't be sued, allegedly. Some of the things, you know, is opinion. So this, they did not use that word in this. So if he wants to, you know, take this to court for slander, he can. And so, you know, Peyton Manning's a great guy, and it's not somebody I like to go up against as a Dallas Cowboys fan. We won't go there, but
right.
Especially not this year, anyway. Oh, Jeff, the Dallas Cowboys. What do we say? I mean, that game. The game yesterday, first off, Fox had a problem with Dish Network, and there's a lot of people in the South couldn't get that game, and we were one of them. We have the NFL Red Zone, which we watch a lot when the Cowboys aren't playing. If they're playing, we watch that game. But if not, we watch that, you know, because it's just very – if you've got ADD, this is the network for you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, boom, we're going
anything.
To here. We're going there. Wait a minute, you know. And but needless to say, we didn't see much of the Cowboys game because it's called NFL Red Zone.
Right, exactly. And they just don't know how to get to the red zone these days. So.
The only red zone we saw was a few field goals, and it was not cute. And that quarterback, what a problem. You know, they – Kellen Moore, you know, what's the song? More, more, more. That's how it, less, less, less is what I'm thinking. And, you know, what's our other option? Matt, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home, Castle. I don't think so. So, you know, it's true. This guy, and, you know, Jeff, he has a history of, you know, he was a starting quarterback. He filled in for New England very famously back in, I believe it was 2009,
right.
and did a great job. He is just, exactly. He's drawn to people. It's like that movie, I See Dead People. I think he sees Michael Irvin, who's not dead, but somewhere out on the field, he throws the ball, and there's no one there. No one. I mean,
right,
he's not throwing
exactly.
it away. That's the thing.
And I never thought I'd say this, but I'm almost thinking, okay, well, Brandon Weeden led the Texans to a win last week, and I'm thinking, Weeden, come back.
I was furious with Brandon Weeden yesterday. He ran in for a touchdown. He looked like an all-star. I'm like, where in the hell was this when you were with the Cowboys earlier in the year?
Exactly.
And he was throwing. Exactly. It was a madman. The only wins we got were when Tony Romo was not injured, and you know, well, I take that back. We got that one win under Matt Castle, and that was a fluke against the Redskins, if you remember, on Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago, only because the wide receiver messed up from the Redskins. We shouldn't have even won that game. But you know what? We're going to get a high draft pick, Jeff, so that's –
Yeah, and I hope we pick a quarterback because we need somebody to be able to
and I'm not saying that Tony Romo's finished. He's under a very lucrative contract that is not anywhere near being up, but he has been injured several times now, and at some point you've got to have somebody that's going to come in and take his place. And I think
I
agree
to
with you.
Any weight on having his clavicle hold up even after being out
you know, for the, you know, the season for
right.
you know, everything healing. I don't want to put all my eggs in his basket anymore. He's just too injury prone. I love Tony, but we need to have a good solid first round draft pick, you know.
I agree. And hopefully, since we all have a top pick, I hope that that's exactly what they do. I did want to say that was a very boring game with the Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills yesterday. But the highlight for me, though, Jeff, at the beginning of that, the Buffalo Bills held a moment of silence for the victims of the Saturday tornadoes in North Texas before the game. And
that's great.
They didn't have to do that. And they did that. That is pure class, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
A little mess up yesterday in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Eric Decker, this was the Jets and the Patriots game in overtime. Eric Decker's 6-yard touchdown catch on the first drive of overtime after New England chose to kick off lifted the Jets into position to make the playoffs. A win next week at Buffalo would give the Jets a wild card berth. New England, who's 12-3, won the overtime coin toss and surprisingly elected to give the ball to the Jets, and that was Bill Belichick's decision.
Wow.
That was
that is ridiculous.
And knowing the rules of which I don't like, I think the NFL rules in overtime are unfair. I think they should be like the NCAA, either that or go back to the way they used to do it and play the whole overtime period. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you make it gives the coin toss too much of a it plays too big of a part in the game. Too much weight.
Yeah, I don't
exactly.
want my game to be based on luck. I want it to be based
heads
on
heads or tails.
Skill.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. If you get that and you go down and score a touchdown, you win. And that's so why on earth they chose to kick off, I have no idea. When you know that's the way things go. In the NCAA, each team gets a possession. And if you score a field goal, then you can win if you get a touchdown. Or, you know, if you get a touchdown, then the next team has to on their next possession or they lose. So that's fair, though. That gives each team a chance anyway. The way this
right.
is set up is not that way. So, and I know that they say, oh, they don't want the games to be so long. I'd rather have a long game that's played fairly than one like that, you know?
Exactly.
If the season ended today, Jeff, in the AFC, the buys would be the New England Patriots at 12-3 and the Cincinnati Bengals at 11-3. The wild card round would be the number 6 Jets against the number 3 Broncos and the number 5 Kansas City Chiefs, who've rattled off 9 in a row. Incredible there.
Wow.
Against the number 4 Houston Texans. In the hunt, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. In the NFC, all NFC berths have been actually determined, Jeff. The Cardinals can get the number 1 seed with a win over Seattle and a Panthers loss to Tampa Bay. The Packers-Vikings winner is the NFC North champion. They play next Sunday night. And Seattle can improve to the number 5 seed with a win and a Green Bay win. So that would be the number 1 seed Panthers, number 2 Cardinals, 6 Seahawks against number 3 Packers, the way it stands right now, and number 5 Vikings against the number 4 Redskins at 8-7 from the NFC East, which is usually the best division in football, and this year, horrible. Just horrible. You know, tonight, currently underway, is the Cincinnati Bengals at the Denver Broncos. So that should be a good game. Definitely. A lot going on. The Carolina Panthers got their first loss yesterday. That was a surprise against the Atlanta Falcons. Did not
almost
see that coming.
I'm afraid to bet against them anymore.
Say it again?
I said I'm almost afraid to bet against them anymore.
One loss. They've really had a great season. In Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook scored 30 points, 12 assists, and 9 rebounds, and Oklahoma City rallied from an 11-point second-half deficit to beat the Denver Nuggets 122-112 on Sunday night. Kevin Durant recorded his 8th double-double of the season with 26 points and 10 assists for the Thunder, who have won 10 of their last 12 games but lost at home to Chicago on Christmas. So, very impressive there. Kevin Durant always, and Russell Westbrook. I'm not as big a fan of Russell Westbrook because of his personality, I'll be honest. But Kevin
right.
Durant is pure class and a great guy. You know? Tonight's games, lots of games going on tonight. The only one that's nationally televised is
the Toronto Raptors at the Chicago Bulls, and that is currently underway. Just running down the conferences and the leaders in the divisions. In the Western Conference, Southwest Division, San Antonio Spurs at 26-6. They have an 8-game lead over the Dallas Mavericks. In the Northwest Division, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder at 21-10. They have a 7.5-game lead over the Utah Jazz. In the Pacific Division, the Golden State Warriors at 28-1. That's right, 28-1. Have an 11-game lead over the L.A. Clippers. I want to say something, too, before I go on, Jeff. The Golden State Warriors, they've lost one game. Who in basketball do you really think in a best-of-seven series is going to beat this team four times?
No one.
I'll go on record right now saying this team will repeat as the champions. There's no one going to beat this team.
This is the best
we've seen in years. And Stephen Kerr is a class act all the way. I just can't go on. Incredible. In the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Raptors at 19-12 had a 1-game lead over the Boston Celtics, and poor the Philadelphia 76ers at 2-30. But you know what? They've won their last game, so take the sacks off your heads. And the fans have been, you know, and as a Mavericks fan from the 92 through 94, I know what that feels like to when you're,
right,
you know, cellar dwellers, and the Lakers know what that feels like too. They're at 5-26. What is this, their third straight year to be horrible? And I hate to see Kobe Bryant finish his last season on that note, but that's the way it's
going to
be.
Yeah, but by golly,
you know,
it's Kobe's team, though.
Ever since he said that in that ESPN interview, they have been horrible. Yeah, in the Eastern Conference Southeast, the Atlanta Hawks at 20-12 lead the Miami Heat by a half game. And in the Central Division, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 19-9 lead the Indiana Pacers by 2.5 games. So, NBA, it's fantastic, as they say, Asia. incredible, though. The Golden State Warriors, if you're a betting man or woman, baby, place them, is what I'm saying. You know?
Exactly.
Some bowls going on tonight. Actually, there was the military bowl was today. That was in Annapolis, Maryland, Navy against Pittsburgh. And Navy defeated Pittsburgh 44-28. And the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, it was Central Michigan 7-5 against Minnesota 5-7, and Minnesota defeated Central Michigan 21-14. And I'm a little confused about that because used to you had to have six wins to get into a bowl, and that may be just because their conference was horrible, and that's always just that. So, you know that rule, Jeff, to be bowl eligible, typically you have to have six wins. So they made it into a bowl, and they won anyway. So I guess whatever. coming up tomorrow, the Armed Forces Bowl, Air Force at California. That's in Fort Worth. At 4:30 tomorrow, the Russell Athletic Bowl is North Carolina 11-2 against Baylor 9-3. That's in Orlando, Florida. That should be a good game. Also tomorrow, the Arizona Bowl is Nevada 6-6 against Colorado State. That's in Tucson. And the Texas Bowl, Texas Tech 7-5 against the LSU Tigers, and that is played in Houston. So some good matchups there, definitely. I think that Baylor North Carolina game should be really good, though. All right, that's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next, right here on The Chad Report.
Madonna and her second top 40 hit, Borderline. That was actually her first top 10 hit, because her first hit, Holiday, which she's so well known for, that's one of her signature songs, that did not crack the top 10, Holiday. It was got to number 16, and Borderline got to number 10, so that was her first top 10 hit. Isn't that amazing sometimes how some of these famous songs, they don't chart like you think they would, but yet they develop a life of their own.
Exactly.
Borderline is a great song, though. This is 80s Madonna at its best, you know?
Exactly.
Madonna's been through several changes, some good, some not so good. But, well, depending on, and I got to be very careful there because a lot of our listeners are avid Madonna fans.
Absolutely.
As am I. I think she's great. Like I said, she is definite superstar. All right. Star Wars, The Force Awakens, has passed $1 billion at the box office, reaching the milestone with record-setting hyperspeed. The Walt Disney Company said The Force Awakens crossed the billion-dollar mark on Sunday, accomplishing that feat in just 12 days. The previous movie to reach $1 billion the fastest was Universal's Jurassic World, which did in 13 days in June. But Jurassic World also had the benefit of record grosses in China. Get this, Jeff. The Force Awakens doesn't open in the world's second largest movie market until January 9th. So it managed to get hit $1 billion, and it's not released yet in China.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
So amazing. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. J.J. Abrams' installment of Star Wars also posted the biggest Christmas Day box office in history with $49.3 million and the best second weekend earnings ever with $153.5 million. The Force Awakens has been setting records since its debut December 17th. It brought in a galactic $238 million in North America over its opening weekend, besting previous record setter Jurassic World, and it set international opening weekend records in Australia, New Zealand, and just about every country in Europe. It also scored the biggest worldwide debut with $529 million, and it also, I sound like a broken record, it also topped $100 million in IMAX screenings in 10 days, another global record. Quote, you almost have to rewrite all the record books for this movie, according to box office analyst Paul DeGarabedarian, I always have trouble with his name, of Rentrak. It's absolutely mind-blowing that Star Wars could get to $1 billion in 12 days, and it hasn't even opened in China, the second biggest movie market in the world. Wow. Incredible.
Awesome.
Running down the top 10, at number 10, The Hateful Eight. At number 9, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. At number 8, Point Break, the remake. Why, I have no idea, but that's from another, that's another day. Point, you remember Point Break, Jeff? But Patrick Swayze, they remade that, and it came in at number 8. It debuted at number 8. At number 7, The Big Short. At number 6, Concussion. At 5, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip. Number 4, Sisters. At number 3, the new movie Joy, with Jennifer Lawrence and the one she's always with. I can't even, I'm drawing a blank from The Hangover. Bradley Cooper, that's it. Number 3 for that, $17.5 million. At number 2, Daddy's Home with $38.8 million. And like I said, add all those up together and you still don't get what Star Wars made. At number 1, Star Wars The Force Awakens, $153.5 million. And that's in its second weekend. So
wow, yeah.
Oh, wow. So that kind of begs the question, Jeff, about Star Wars and the Oscars. I mean, when you have, you know, something that popular, it's already exploded as a worldwide box office megaforce. The next universe to conquer is the awards world, and so far it's coming on strong. Quote, The Force Awakens has instantly become a serious awards player, massive. It's the most fascinating Oscar wild card, said Tom O'Neill, editor of the awards website, GoldDerby.com. It would come up with the most nominations of any film, including Best Picture. And there's a chance it could win if the Oscar force is with this movie. and when you've got that many rabid fans, you know, what do you think, Jeff? I mean, you know, we do this Oscars show every year.
I think it would be
Even a better bet than, you know, in betting on who's going to win the awards than who's going to win the NBA championship.
Wow, and that's pretty, and I feel really good about Golden State, so that's saying a lot.
And it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and it's just so popular too. Already, well, it missed because of the when it came out, it missed the Golden Globe Awards, so that is out because that those and the SAG Award nominations, they came out before the film's December 18th release. However, the Critics' Choice Award has already chosen its top 10 nominations for 2015's Best Picture, but a membership outcry led to Force Awakens being added as a rare 11th pick for the January 17th program. So already it's showing its, you know, force, so to speak.
Right.
It also earned a spot on the American Film Institute's prestigious top movie list for 2015. Well, Dave Karger, the Oscar expert for the movie site Fandango.com, says Star Wars is a strong contender in the wide-open Best Picture race. Quote, I had been saying a nomination for Best Picture would be its victory, but this film is so well-received, if it gets nominated, you have to consider it a possible winner. And if not, can you imagine the outcry? First off, this would be a bonanza for ratings for the Oscars. If you know what I'm saying,
exactly.
I just think that's a no-brainer. That's just But we'll see when the Oscars come out, when the nominations come out. San Francisco would like to know if Justin Bieber is sorry. The city isn't feeling the pop star's guerrilla marketing, and faced with sidewalks full of graffiti scrawls promoting Bieber's new album, Purpose, San Francisco city attorney is demanding to know who is responsible. It seems that chalk over permanent spray paint would have been preferable for the promotions, which have defied the elements and, quote, remain undiminished for several weeks through multiple rainstorms, writes city attorney Dennis Herrera in a letter Monday to Universal Music Group, calling the Bieber graffiti visual blight. Spray paint, quote, our sidewalks in San Francisco are not canvases for corporate advertising, and we have made that clear, added San Francisco Public Works Director Mohamed Nuru. Herrera noted that Public Works crews have taken great expense to scrub off the Bieber designs, though he did not specify the cost. The news is a slight blot on Bieber's recent positive press. Over the holidays, the singer urged his fans to make a charity's holiday song number one in the UK over his own single. Quote, the choir NHS single is for charity. So for 1 week, it's okay not to be number one, the singer tweeted. Very generously. Oh, Justin. Wow. Well, you know, and again, I don't know if that's his fault. When it comes to promotions, when you're a star like that, I think that's probably more on Universal. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they use spray paint in San Francisco to promote his album. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't look good on him.
I don't know.
But, so,
yeah, I'm kind of hard-pressed to think it's going to be from the, you know, from the, you know, more from him.
Universal, the promotions, promoting him.
Exactly. I don't know.
Who knows? All I know is that it did very well and it debuted at number one. So something worked. All right, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness.
Celebrity birthday time. I haven't done this in a while. Today, actor Miles Brown. Actor Miles Brown from Blackish is 11. Singer David Archuleta, Jeff, of American Idol fame.
Oh, I'm going to say 26.
25 today, the big 2-5. R&B singer John Legend. The great John Legend.
I'm going to say 35.
Plus two, 37 today for John Legend. TV personality Gail King and Oprah's bestie is 61 today. Actor Denzel Washington, Oscar winner.
Yeah, I'm going to say 63.
The same age as Gail King. That was a kind of a trick one there. Also 61 for Denzel today. singer Randy Newman. Short people got no reason.
Oh, wow.
That's Short People Got No Reason to Live. That was his famous song. And what an outcry. It was a tongue-in-cheek song, but so many people in this country don't get tongue-in-cheek. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. I'm going to say 77.
Ouch. And that's that's getting in backwards for that Short People comment, I guess. 72 for Randy Newman. Actress Dame Maggie Smith is 81. Actress Nichelle Nichols, a Lieutenant Uhura of Star Trek fame.
I'm going to say, gosh, she's got to be up there. I'm going to say at like 80.
83 today, and still a beautiful woman. And last but not least, comic book creator Stan Lee. Of course, the Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man. This guy's a legend.
Yeah, wow. I'm going to say 89.
Plus four, 93 years young for Stan Lee today. So happy birthday to all those celebrities and any of our listeners celebrating a birthday. You can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at Chad Report USA. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.
Pull you in.